It's another Tuesday on my island. That is where genealogy and spirit connect. Welcome, everybody. It's another hot Tuesday down where I am. I don't know where my guest is experiencing this kind of heat. But, you know, over the past 16 weeks or so, we've been doing a lot of talking about DNA, and we've talked about physical DNA, and we had Bennett Greenspan, who is the founder of Family Tree DNA, spend an hour with us. And we've also spent many hours, I think, over the last 16 weeks talking about spiritual DNA with the likes of Althea Gray, Denise Lynn, Jude Caravan, and Arthur Kurzweil. So it dawned on me, and I contacted our guest today, and I said, is there any tie to genealogy with numerology? And my gosh, the answer was very quick. So is there new miracle DNA? I think we're going to find out today. Allison probably doesn't remember, but when I started my re-spiritual journey, and I say re, I had been on one, and then I got off of it for a while, and I had to start back up. Allison Bachman was one of the first people I actually contacted and had a reading. And over the last year and a half, I can honestly say to you that her reading has been accurate. I do want to go ahead before I introduce her and give out the toll-free number, if I can happen to find it, where I put it. I can't. So in any event, I will get that for you. But Allison is a numerologist, and she's been doing this as an author, a lecturer, and has her own show here on BBS Radio. And her show title is Visible by Numbers. We're going to be taking some calls today, so I will get that number to you. Her show airs actually at 5 p.m. on Pacific time on Monday afternoon, so if you want to catch her, please do. She does some amazing on-air accurate readings. And when we first started talking about this concept, I asked her, you know, if we can be so accurate about numerology for ourselves, you know, is it possible that we can find out more about our ancestors by doing their numerology? And just for fun, I actually sent her a case that I'm working on for a client where we have actually a lost soul, so to speak, and it might be very interesting to hear what she's come up with. Any event, Allison, welcome.
Well, thank you so much. I am honored that you invited me. It's a fascinating subject. And, you know, actually you made me think about it a little bit harder. And the case that you gave me to investigate, it was really fascinating. So I'm rather excited.
Good. In any event, the case I gave her is an individual who we can't seem to find between a period of 1874 and 1902. We know that he was around because he sired about 15 children during that period, and we actually have all the names and dates and places and birth dates and death dates of all these individuals, but he seems to be very elusive. So I thought I'd see what Allison might be able to shed on this particular subject.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the things that I noticed, because what I did is I took your subject, and
okay,
one of the first things that I would look at for anyone is what the surname is, meaning, you know, whatever the family name is, which is Chandler, and it has an 11 vibration. And the 11 vibration is master energy. It borders on greatness or destruction. It certainly would tell me that he comes from a long line of people who probably had lives that were not the easiest of lives. You know, a lot of people look at an 11 life path and they think it's master energy and they think it's something that they want. But the truth of the matter is, having an 11 life path or having an 11 in your chart makes your life more difficult. There seems to be much more tragic events in the life of an 11. So we know that he comes from a long line of family that perhaps there's some, you know, interesting family stories from the surname. But what's interesting with him is his expression number and his birthday are both sevens. And he brought in some karma in this lifetime, let me tell you. And but let's talk about these sevens for a minute. Now, number one, sevens, historically, they're not that great at marriages. They're very difficult for them to maintain relationships. And even more so when you bring in the karma that he brought in. Actually, in a past life, and I have to bring in past lives because numerology is about reincarnation. In a past life, he actually was involved in a love affair. In that love affair, he caused someone to lose their family, meaning it was a triangle. Two people wandered off, and they were lived happily ever after. But the person left behind had to begin their life over again. So consequently, as he comes into this lifetime, he's bringing in that karma. All his soul really wants to do is experience what it's like, you know, on some level to lose it all, to have to begin again, to start over. So we know that he's got the karma. But another thing about the seven that's very interesting is sevens are very secretive people. Huh. It's almost like they live within themselves a whole, there's parts of them that no one, absolutely no one will ever get to. They tend to keep their emotions in check. They tend to be very intellectual people. They also tend to be difficult to get to know, difficult to be intimate with, difficult. It's not that they aren't loving people. It is not that they aren't wonderful treasures. It's just they have trust issues sometimes. Just being intimate with someone is difficult. Sevens also need their space. They need their alone time. They don't like to be smothered. They certainly don't like somebody around them all the time. They, you know, if you were to take a seven, ideally what they would find to be a perfect life would to be wandering off, going into the mountains and being a monk or some place where they never came out ever again and just stayed there by themselves. And maybe read books or meditated or wandered around in nature. But certainly, it's not a social number, and it is the life path of someone that's a little bit on the eccentric side and a little bit of a hermit. And this is his energy. I mean, he's got it very strongly in his chart. Now, I think what's really fascinating is, if you look in his chart, the year that he was married, which the way that I figured it out was you gave me his marriage date. So I'm looking at age 24, 25, somewhere within that year he got married. That's a significant event in his life based on the way that we do numerology. You can actually depict very important, memorable, significant years in people's life by doing numerology. His marriage shows in his chart. It has a 20 vibration to it. And that's whenever you bring the two around, it's connecting with someone else. It can be a sudden marriage or a sudden divorce, a sudden love affair. And so it makes an incredible amount of sense that he would have got married at that time. So that shows in his chart. But when you move his chart forward, and you begin to look, after his marriage, he went into an 11 pentacle. And 11 pentacles, again, not the easiest thing to deal with. He has a lot of these ones in his essences at that time, which would have made him want to be by himself or be a little bit self-centered or a little bit selfish or somebody that was only thinking about what they wanted, so you could actually see that happening within that pentacle. Another thing that is very evidence is something very significant, and I'll share this with whoever may, you know, be able to research this. Very significant event for him happened when he was 40, okay? And so that's something, it could have been something tragic or it could have been something very significant. It literally causes a break where we have to let go of something very important, and it creates a new beginning of some sort. So the age of 40 is very significant for him. That's something that I can see. And I can literally go on, you know, through his chart, like 43 and 44, another very significant event. It would have been a very difficult time in his life. And you know, the secrecy, though, of this man, you know, I would expect that it would be possible for him to lead a double life. Certainly possible for him to, I'm sorry to say, have affairs. Or simply want to be all by himself, go off by himself. That is where he's comfortable. No, I also have a comment on Mary, his wife. I don't know if you want me to go there.
Sure. Because
I don't want to take up.
And then I'm going to give out the number before I forget so that people can call in.
Okay. His wife was also 77 energy. And she also had the very same karma that he had. And so I would guess, and it would be my humble opinion, that she was a very difficult person to live with, that she was equally, you know, even though these two are married, like draws like, and certainly we're going to be drawn to somebody that has like energy, but when it comes to two sevens being together, they tend to sleep in their own separate beds. They tend to live their lives separately. It's very hard for sevens because neither one of them really needs the company of the other. That these are two people that really from the get-go were destined to go their separate ways. And intimacy would have been a very difficult thing. I know they had 15 children. I hear you on that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is when having somebody in your face 24/7 or have somebody by your side 24/7 would have been difficult for both of these people. And both of them, the marriage vibration, the relationship vibration is not good at all in either one of their charts. So in many ways, if you kind of look back and you see how could it be possible for these two people to be together but yet live apart, it absolutely makes sense.
Yeah, it's a very interesting synopsis. And interestingly enough, when I shared this with Allison, I didn't give her any details. I just sent her a chart that had all the dates. But this man has been very elusive, and what we think is we think he was a horse thief. That's the family story anyway. And he did die by being trampled by a horse, from what we understand. So, you know, some of the things that you have actually mentioned are actually very true. I think we will look at those years that you mentioned and at his ages and maybe focus and highlight on some of that because, you know, this family has actually done quite a bit of research and, you know, I've been really amazed at, you know, what they have been able to do. And it's been a very hard case to crack. So this would be an interesting way to see if we can crack it. We'll see. Let me give out the toll-free number that I misplaced in, before the show came on the air, and it's 1-888-815-9756, and Allison will be doing some online readings if you want to give us a call. But while we're waiting, or you know, while we're talking about it, let's talk about the origin of numerology.
Okay, well, numerology is a divination tool. It was founded upon the teachings of Pythagoras, and he lives right around 560 A.D. It has roots in ancient cultures such as Rome, Egypt, Greece, China, and it also has ties to the Hebrew Kabbalah. So it's a very old, you know, it dates back to antiquity, really. And what numerology does is it uses your date of birth and your birth name. And basically that's representing, I mean, if you really want to understand what it's representing the plan that your soul charted out for this lifetime. That's what your full numerology chart truly is. And by using your date of birth and your name at birth, which holds the energy, it actually tells the story. Numbers are calculated. You come up with what is called a numerology chart. And you can use a numerology chart as a method of understanding your deeper nature, your talents, what you're here for, your destiny. Certainly it explains why you like the things you do or dislike the things you dislike. It can explain where your opportunities are in life, certainly what lessons and challenges that you've planned along the way. It is an extremely insightful tool, and it is very, very old. But what is amazing to me is as far removed from the source as it is, the version of numerology that modern-day numerologists use, it's also extraordinarily accurate. I mean, I am personally a pretty big skeptic. I don't jump on board something. I don't try to make things fit. I'm not the kind of person that, you know, I'm going to force it to fit. It either makes sense or it doesn't to me. And that's the approach that I took to numerology, and what amazes me about it is how incredibly accurate it is. So, you know, I don't know if that's what you wanted to know, but that's what I got to say about it.
Well, I think it is. I think it's. I think people need to understand what the history is, and you know, and it is a process. I mean, it's just like anything else, and tying it in to, you know, the genealogy aspect. I mean, I don't know. I think I'm sure you'd never really thought of it before, but you know, I was sitting here, I guess, several weeks ago. Yeah, thinking to myself, you know, I've got ancestors, I've got family members that I've been doing research for 27 years that are elusive, and I cannot find them, nor can I figure out, you know, can I get a handle on who they really were? And right. So that was kind of why this idea came up. I gave you a holler. I said this would be an interesting concept because I really do believe that. If we can use numerology for our own soul purpose and to help guide us,
sure.
That it should be able to be used to, you know, piece together lives came before us too. What's really
right.
What would be the big difference?
There isn't a big difference. You any relative that you would want to know something about that maybe you've never met. You absolutely could understand them, and even why, you know, because some people have names that would tend to tell you that they were merchants or that they were business people. Some people would have names and they would tend to tell you that, you know, maybe you might find them, you know, traveling vaudeville or something like that. So there are numbers that really could tell you about people. And there's no difference between somebody that's alive and somebody that isn't alive. You can literally map out their life. And significant events in their life and how, why their life went the way that it did and give you insight into people. I myself have literally taken back my relatives back several generations as far as looking at their numerology because I was trying to understand what numbers are running in my family, what are consistent numbers. Usually there's about four of them, and it's almost as though you got two from your mom and two from your dad. There seems to be about four numbers that seem to run very consistently in charts. And usually they are in the same ballpark. I actually did a little research for you just to demonstrate this. I actually took the Kennedy family.
Okay.
And I don't know if you want. Okay. And so first off, if you look at the name Kennedy, it's a 33. Now this is rather fascinating to me because I can't think of a family that has given up their two of their sons to politics, to service to others. And when you look at a 33, quite often someone that holds that energy ends up being a martyr. They end up, you know, tragic circumstances. So I find it very interesting that the actual name Kennedy is a 33. At its lower vibration, it's a 6. So we have a family that's devoted to each other. The 6th vibration always is a very strong family vibration. When you've got 6s, family is their focus. That is where they're nurturing the love, the closeness, the importance. There's a great deal of emphasis placed on family. So you have the Kennedys that start off with that kind of energy. Now, if you look at Rose Kennedy, and I'm just going to quote some numbers for you.
Okay.
Rose was an 11 life path with a 22 birthday and a 19-1 expression. So I just gave you three numbers from Rose. Now, if you go to look, and I just took three sons here. If we go and we look at, let's say, Ted Kennedy. Ted Kennedy is a 22 birthday, like his mom. He has a 1 expression, like his mother. He has a 22 heart's desire. Again, the 22 is coming back in. Oh, and he has a 33-6 for personality. Okay? So So now let's go and we'll look at the father, Joe Kennedy, who's the patriarch of the family. He's a 22 life path with a 6 birthday and a 4 expression. He also has a lot of 2 energy around him. He could be an extraordinary diplomat, that man. But he had a 2 heart's desire, a 2 personality. So where does that show up? Well, if you take a look at Robert Kennedy, you know, he's got a 20 birthday and he has a 20 heart's desire. So he has the same configuration as his father in his chart. Now, Bobby Kennedy had a 19-1 expression, like his mother. Okay? Again, interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting. Now, if you take JFK, He was a 7 life path, so that's a number that kind of pops up that is, you know, to my knowledge, when I'm looking at everybody else's number, that one is a little bit different. But if you look at his birthday, it's a 29. When you add the 2 and 9 together, well, that's an 11, so it's showing back up. We also, his heart's desire, it's a 20, okay, a 20/2, so he's got that going on there. Again, that number's running consistently with him. And his personality and his maturity numbers are both sixes. So, again, the six is running very strongly in his chart. Now, what's interesting is Ted Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy both had 3 life paths. Now, if you look at Mom and Dad, we do not have the 3 present in their charts, but this is something new that comes in with Ted, and it comes in with Robert. And 3 really puts somebody, makes somebody very likable. A 3 also is not quite as focused as some of the other energies, you know, that other people could have. It tends to make somebody very attractive, very likable, very watchable, somebody that's a good orator, somebody that likes to be on stage, somebody that likes to be in front of people. And very often you can find 3s in the lives of politicians. I mean, Hillary Clinton herself is a 3 life path, so it's very interesting to me to see the 3 there. Even though I don't see that coming in from the other energy, still, I think as each child is born, you know, they have their own identity, but they still carry the energy of the mom and dad, as you can see from what I said with the Kennedy family. Because the 19-1, the 22, the 11, the 6, and a very strong 2 energy is clearly represented over and over and again as you look at the family dynamics, the family numbers, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's just one example. And I didn't really have, you know, time to, like, run through a lot of families. But even in, like, my family, I'm a 7 life path, so I'm the odd man out in my family. But my mother, my 2 sisters, and my daughter are all 8 life paths, all of them. And it's interesting to me to see that a very consistent number that runs in my family. I'm just happen to be the odd man out. I think 7s, I think we come along every once in a while. I don't think, you know, 7s do tend to run in families as well. If you take my 7 life path, I pass it on to my daughter Shaughnessy, who has it in her heart's desire position, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm a 6 expression, which means that's what I came to do. My daughter's a 6 expression, so I pass that as well on to her. Even though she's an 8 life path that comes from grandma, and it comes from, you know, beyond me, my 7 and my 6, she holds that energy. That's something that comes from me. What's really interesting is she has an 11 birthday, and that comes from her father. Okay, I don't have 11s in my chart. However, the 11 comes from her father. So, you know, you can literally see where there's pods, it seems to me, of numbers, groups of numbers that consistently show up within a family. And it makes an incredible amount of sense, too, because like draws like. It is the law of manifestation. It is, you know, you're going to create with in your space, in your surroundings, with you the same energy. So therefore, it makes sense that it comes in with your children and your grandchildren and so forth and so forth and so forth.
You know, that's pretty amazing. Now, when you do numerology, I guess a death date does not play any part in this, or does it?
Well, a death date oftentimes, you know, sometimes you can tell if there's they can give a signal to karmic completion. Usually numerology charts will, let me be specific.
Okay.
Numerology does not show death per se in the actual chart. It absolutely can show times of lowered health. It can show times when you're more accident-prone in your life or when you need to be careful about things. Is that going to change anything by knowing it? I really don't think so. But what death in a chart quite often affects the family members. So although the person that actually died, his chart looks relatively normal. But if you look in the family members' charts, you can see very difficult times, emotional times, a lot of stress, and depending on the family members, you may have one family member that's estranged from that particular person that died. Obviously, they're not going to be upset about the death, but if you have other family members that are very close it'll show in their chart that that was a very difficult year. Usually the year that we lose our parents, you know, is shown in our charts as being a difficult year. It's usually, is, you know, a numerologist ought to be able to pull that up out of the chart and be able to give you the year that, how old you were, and tell you that that's a you know, a soul lesson or an experience that was written. Death of children quite often is written in a person's chart. How many readings that I've done where I've asked somebody, okay, well, can you tell me at 29 what was the significant event, because I can see a very difficult experience, and they would have lost a child. You know, that literally shows, because our lives are written. These experiences are written. And I think certain experiences that are particularly difficult is what I call soul lessons, or perhaps they're catalysts for you to awaken to something else, or it's a very important key element in you reaching your destiny. Those things are written into people's charts. So, like I say, death in your own personal chart, not necessarily showing,
okay,
but it shows in the family members.
That's interesting. Now, you know, if you had a family member who was adopted, for example, would the numerology affect? How would that tie into families?
Okay, sure. I understand. I actually, I had this particular instance in, my mother was adopted. So I've actually had the opportunity to study her family members and her chart. I firmly believe that even in adoption, nothing is by coincidence. Not the mother giving up the child and not the adoption. That technically, this child was fully aware coming in that it would end up being in the family that it ended up in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, quite often, the child carries energy that the family needs, or carries some, there's something about this child that is a very key element for that family, something that the family needs to bring in. I don't think that it's always an exact match with an adopted child. I feel that there's an element to that adoption that fulfills something between the family that adopted and the adopted child. But there is definitely like energy, or energy that blends, or energy that gets along. There definitely is that going on. In the instance with my mother, what I think is very interesting, and I can use her as a case, in my mother's chart, what it would tell you is that there's a lot of her energy that needs peace and harmony. She's a very cooperative person, very strong person. No matter what happens to her, she can handle anything. No matter what life deals her, she can move past it and go on with the business of life. But the priority in her life is keeping peace and harmony and being supportive of others. What her chart says about her is that in this lifetime, she has a very strong lesson about duty and responsibility to family, and that this is something her soul needed. And so, therefore, this experience is written into her life this time. Well, what is very interesting about my mother is that when she was adopted into this family, the reason why she was adopted was because the mother had heart problems. She had given birth to one child, but she couldn't have another, and she desperately wanted a daughter. So she adopted my mother at 2 weeks old.
Okay.
As it turns out, my grandmother, or the adopted mother, her health deteriorated, and my mother, as a young adult, ended up taking care of a mother that had a stroke, that needed someone to come every single day to change her bedding, to dress her, to feed her. And my mother ended up taking care of her mother until her mother's death. But it doesn't stop there. Eventually, my grandfather remarries, and my mother, goes on with her life and her career. Well, the stepmother, or the step, his wife, she has a stroke, and of course her father can't handle this particular emergency. So my mother steps in. And so she helps the father with his new wife and provides care and nurturing and taking them to doctor's appointments and helping, you know, to make arrangements so they could take care of her. This goes on for a very long time until the death of his wife. Then my grandfather, he ends up getting sick. My mother ends up taking care of him for years.
Oh, my.
And what's even more interesting is the uncle was single. He was not married. So my mother, all her life, took care of him. And even when he got sick, she jumped in and she took care of him when he was sick. So when I look at it as a total picture, I understand that my mother, her adoption was meant to be, because this family was going to need her, because she was the nurturer after the mother died. She was the one that stepped in and took care of all the male members of the family in times of great need. And she literally devoted her whole entire life to the care of this family that she was adopted in. And I know it's an extraordinary story, but it's a true story.
You know, we have something in common, because my mother was also adopted. And, you know, there's some similarities here that are very, 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 very striking to me. But, you know, my mother took care of both her mother and her mother-in-law for many years. And it was like the minute they were gone, she went.
Oh, so she was done.
I guess she was done. I mean, it was, she died four years after her mother.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just really quick. Yeah. And, you know, and I mean, she even, you know, I mean, she'd even made a comment beforehand. She's, when my grandmother died, she just said, well, you know, I'm next.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 4 years later, she was gone. So it was a very, yeah, it's a very interesting thing that you mentioned here, because she throughout her whole married life, she took care of her mother, because my grandfather died when I was five.
Sure.
So, yeah,
and
she
so it would be interesting to see if your mother had a missing six in her name, or she had a six life path, six expression, but I would be looking for connections to the six with your mother,
uh-huh,
as far as what her purpose was with this family. I know with my mother that the missing six was a key element, because that meant that that was something she had to work on in this lifetime. Because whenever we're missing a number in our name, it's like we took on this extra homework in this lifetime. It doesn't mean that in a past life that we did anything wrong. We just simply did not get enough experience with this energy. So in this lifetime, we choose to bring into our life experiences that gives us opportunities to learn about this energy. So my mother needed to learn of how to nurture, how to take care of others, what selfless service was. Well, good God Almighty, when you look at her life, it was nothing but selfless service to others. And not only that, but she was a teacher all of her life, so it was selfless service to her students. This woman, if my mother has not earned a huge six in this lifetime, I don't think she'll ever come in another lifetime without a six, because she certainly earned it all in this lifetime. And so I understand from looking at my mother's chart, I've often said, you know, Mom, I think that you've lived this really selfless, very loving life. I can honestly say to you, I don't want to be like you. I don't even want to be half as nice as you. It's just too darn hard the life that you chose. I don't want to be half the woman you are. No, thank you. That was rough. And you know, she laughs about it, but you also have to understand the way her numbers were configured. She was the type of person she was supportive of others. She would do anything to keep the peace and keep harmony and keep everybody happy. And if everybody was happy, she was happy. And when they were miserable, she did anything she could to take care of them. And superhuman feats, because you have to understand, when my mother was taking care of her mother, my mother had six children, and I can remember as a infant, or as a young, not infant, let's just call me a young child.
Right.
My mother, I was sick with the chicken pox or something. My mother put me in the farmhouse bedroom. There was a house attached to the big house. My mother put me in there with color books and crayons, because I couldn't come into the big house because she didn't want me to get her mother sick. And I had to stay there until my mother took care of her mother. But my mother also had five other kids running around playing outside while she was doing this. Can you imagine the superhuman physical energy she needed to live her life with all the people involved in it that she was taking care of? It was crazy. It was absolutely insane.
It sounds like it. And, you know, it's interesting. So when let's talk a little bit about, you know, what numerology or how you would even begin to look at things. You know, just for grins, I go by, you know, Susan E. King, but my name is Susan Elise King. And I think when I added it up, that it really comes out to the exact same vibration.
It does.
Okay. So a lot of times, you know, I hear people, you know, I've heard that, you know, the name is everything and how you go by your name and how you use your name out, whether it's in professional life or in personal life, that, that's a major part of the vibration. So it's a combination of the name, and it's not the name. Is it the name you're born with, or is it the name you go with, or is it the name?
All right. Okay.
Got it.
The name you're given at birth is your initial energy. It is your energy. You can't change that energy. However, you can change your name, and when you change your name, you do add or subtract, add to or take away from your original energy. It doesn't ever change the original energy. It just adds a little bit or takes a little bit away, or can create some problems, or it can actually resolve some problems, but it doesn't change the original energy. You can never change who you are, because that's what tells the story of your life, is your name at birth, that coupled with your date of birth. Now, if we look at Susan E. King, and if your name is equally a three, then you're meant to be in the media, or you're meant to communicate. That gives you a gift with words. So you're a writer, or you have an ability to express yourself, or a need to express yourself. And it gives you some star quality. So that would be why you would choose to do a radio show, because, you know, technically that's media, and that's you using your voice and speaking about what you're passionate about. So it makes a complete and total sense. But like I said, oftentimes people change their name because they think it's going to bring them fame and fortune, or they think in many cases it has. But in my opinion, that fame and fortune comes not so much in the name change, but it comes in the pinnacles, or it comes in the part of the chart that creates your opportunities. We literally have major shifts in our life. There's four major shifts in our life of energy. And we may be in a pinnacle that is very limiting financially. We're not getting ahead. It seems as though everything is hard. And then literally we can move into a pinnacle that allows abundance and money and promotion. Or we can move into a pinnacle that creates travel and adventure. Or sit there and not have any children, wish with all their hearts they get married and have children. And they can move into a pinnacle that allows that, and next thing you know, boom, we got a family, we got children. We have energy shifts that are written into our life plan. I feel that a lot of numerologists attribute to a name change what actually is the pinnacles and the essences and the personal years that are creating and giving this person a different opportunity that actually can change what they're doing, okay? In their life, dramatically.
So, then, how does the birth date then come into play? Other than having a reading, I have absolutely no real understanding of the process of numerology, other than it's a numbers thing.
Okay. Well, your birth date holds very significant information.
Okay.
It holds the information about your life path, which is, you know, there will be a debate amongst numerologists as exactly what does the life path mean. But if you study and research numerology, and I tend to honor some of the older numerologists, I tend to honor what they say in their books. And Juno Jordan would tell you that your life path is who you are coming into this lifetime. It is your natural born talents and abilities. This is really telling you a lot about what you've done in past lives and how you've accumulated this particular energy. Now, all numbers in your chart, no matter how you get them, it's like the law of attraction, the law of manifestation. You will manifest things into your life depending upon what your life path number is or what your numbers are. So, but your life path number is who you are coming in without having to force it or figure it out or work at it. You're naturally talented. Now, your date of birth also holds the day that you're born. Whatever day that we're born on, it's telling us what natural born talents and abilities we brought to help us out with what we came to do. So we need to look at the day that we're born to understand, you know what, that's a big clue that's telling you you're going to need that energy to help you with what you came to do. So for instance, if somebody was born on the 6th of any given month, we know that this is cosmic mommy energy. It's the nurturer. It's somebody with a great deal of love and compassion, somebody who's good with children, a healer, somebody that wants to help others. So we know that that energy in the day that they're born plays very important key into what they came to do. When we look to see what did you come to do, well, that's where your name comes in. Your name tells a story of what thing your soul is working on in this lifetime. The expression number holds what is the experience your soul came to do. Now, normally in numerology, we would combine the life path number, who you are, with your birthday number and what you came to do, and you're going to blend all that energy. Because generally speaking, what you came to do, you're going to use your other energy to determine what is it that you want to do. That life path number, that birthday number. Like, let's say, for instance, let's go back to the 6th day of birth. We've got the maternal mother energy. Let's say your expression is a 6. Okay, so obviously, you came to experience love of family, probably marriage, and probably children. If you don't have children, you more than likely maybe go want to be a teacher or perhaps a healer of some sort, or perhaps you're going to go the other route with a 6, which is musical ability. Maybe you're a singer. But that 6 is telling a story about what you came to do. Now, let's look at the life path number. Let's back it up a little bit. So you came in. Let's take another example. Let's say you came in and you had a 3 life path. Well, we know if you have a 3 in your life path number that you come in with an ability to inspire. You come in with the ability to write. You're very artistic. It's saying that you've got a gift with self-expression. So when you combine that with the fact that you're a cosmic mother, you're very good with children, the 3 is inner child energy. You know, this is a person that may very well raise children, have a family, but also at some point they may want to write children's books, or they may want to go on stage and sing or play a musical instrument. They may want to add that to their experience. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
The energy in a chart blends together to tell the story. That's why no person is one particular number. They are a combination of all their energy, which tells the story. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay.
So, you know, going back to the, you know, relationship of using this for genealogy, you would do need to know the birth date.
Sure.
And but you don't need to have a time of birth like you would with an astrological chart. Mm-hmm. And the name at birth, mm-hmm. or the best, or the name that they used. I mean, when you're doing genealogy, I mean, sometimes we find names that, you know, we think they are, and we find out later they're not. And
well, I think to be accurate, you have to have the name on the birth certificate and an accurate recording of the name.
Okay. So that would be really the two most critical things to really do a numerology on a family member or, you know, an ancestor.
Sure. Sure. And then you could, you know, there's so much that you could find out about that particular person. You know, and also, you know, like, oftentimes we say, we hear stories about our ancestors or our relatives or where they came from or why they came. You can, as you said, you know, when you go back and you look at John George, so the example you gave me, and you tell me that he was a horse thief, you know, I can actually sit there and kind of laugh about that because, you know, this is definitely a guy that was a little bit shady. He kept his cards tied to his chest. He didn't let anybody know what he was up to. And there was a lot of secrecy about him, you know?
Yes.
So I absolutely can see where that is possible. But I still feel with him that there were times in his life, I wouldn't be surprised if he was living a double life. Or he just simply, him and Mary didn't get along. He just didn't want to go home. I mean, I'm telling you, these two people, technically, this would, relationship would be short-lived had he been home all the time. I'm glad that he got home.
Yeah, the rumors in the family is that he did not come home much.
Right.
You know, and he obviously came home at least 15 times that we know of.
I think that is hysterical. Well, you know, well, we know he's a little Energizer bunny, that's for sure.
Right.
But I just think that that's kind of interesting how I don't really think that these two people would have enjoyed spending a lot of time with each other. They both needed their space. And I feel sorry for his wife because, you know, for a seven to have children, it's not an easy task because the noise, the confusion, the crying, the constant pulling on your, you know, sevens are not necessarily nurturers. They have a difficult time with you know, parenting. They do it well, but they're perfectionists at everything that they do. But I would even think that Mary's children, and I would have to ask, throw this up to the family, that, you know, she was not a nurturer. And it may have been, you know, with her children, she may have been strict, or she might have been a disciplinarian, or she may have, you know, they had to be quiet. She may not have allowed them to express themselves. You know, her energy could have created problems with her children. With 15 kids, that had to have driven her nuts, I can tell you that much, with her energy.
Yeah,
I think it's
imagine.
Really interesting.
In those days and times, I mean, we're talking, what, 1870s?
God bless her.
1903, or somewhere in there is when the mm-hmm. children were born. If anybody wants a quick reading before Allison and I go away, the number is 888-815-9756, and that's toll-free from anywhere in the world, from what I understand. So going back to doing readings, you're available to do readings for people. That's correct, right? Not only on your show, but you do that as well. And how would someone get a hold of you?
Oh, they're more than welcome to visit my website, which is visiblebynumbers.com. I have, you know, right there on the homepage of BBS Radio, they just can just click on Visible My Numbers on Monday night, and there's all my bio information and contact information. They can email me, call, or whatever if they are interested in an appointment.
Going back to the history of numerology, you know, some of the things that I've been learning, I guess, during these last 16 weeks with the people that I have been interviewing, is a lot of stuff seems to go back to the Kabbalah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff goes back to the Kabbalah. And, you know, I mean, when I grew up and I was raised Jewish, you know, we were, you know, kind of taught that this was Jewish mysticism. But, you know, the more and more I hear people talk and the more and more I have gotten involved in this, that I'm, you know, beginning to see that almost everything that is being done in the spiritual community these days is almost replication of some of the things that, you know, were written in the Kabbalah. And it's, you know, I mean, I compare, you know, Yehuda Berg's daily message that he sends out, he's a Kabbalist, with what I see from the Daily Om, and there's nothing, I don't see much difference in my mind, so that's just how I'm seeing things. But, you know, taking numerology back to the Kabbalah, how would you do that?
Well, that would be something that has already been done, and, you know, it's a process of, you have to understand that the alphabet itself actually are numbers. And they're not letters, they're numbers. Musical notes are actually numbers. Everything is based on numbers. And, you know, I couldn't do justice to that in the short amount of time that we have. But the one thing that I will tell you with absolute certainty is I studied numerology first and foremost because it fascinated me. I loved biographies as a child, and I would always contemplate, well, how does a person get born and go from point A and end up where they end up in life. You know, scientists or philosophers or whatever, it fascinated me. I mean, I read George Washington Carver as a child. I was fascinated with his life. How do you become an inventor? When I found the numerology book, it was just basically, oh my gosh, this seems to be telling me how a person gets from here to there, that we have these things called destinies. And so when my study of numerology was not based on spiritual philosophy, I was simply studying numerology. But then later on in life, I began to study spiritual philosophy because numerology led me to it. And upon studying spiritual philosophy, everything that every author says, you can take Neil Donald Walsh, Don Miguel Ruiz, John Holland, James von Prague, I don't care who's written what book where about anything that has to do with spiritual philosophy, numerology proves it each and every chart, each and every time, that we plan these things out before we come in. There's purpose to our life. Everything happens for a reason. That we are not here for what we think we're here for. That our souls have different agendas than what we think. And all of that information is represented in a numerology chart. And it validates 110% spiritual philosophy. It is in itself, numerology is a spiritual philosophy in action. And that's what fascinates me the most, because I studied the spirituality after I understood the numerology and after I saw what was going on in people's charts. And we're talking thousands of readings as far as the experience of seeing this very consistent. People vibrate to their energy, period. Whatever those numbers are, that's what you're going to do in life.
Well, I can tell you that reading you did for me, I guess almost 2 years ago, was fascinating. I know that the accuracy that I have seen both in the timing and some of those pinnacles that you had brought up and the ones that were coming, those have been very interesting too, because at that particular time I was definitely in a spiritual quandary of where I was going. So a lot of it was, gives very interesting guidance if we're open to it and open to the fact that, we may be supposed to be doing something different than what we thought we were doing that we were supposed to be doing, if that makes any sense at all.
Well,
where I was at that particular time.
Well, I think the one beautiful thing that numerology does is somewhere inside of us, we have this guidance system, but we don't always listen to it, or sometimes we've got it shut down or turned off. What numerology does is it reconnects you to your energy, to those dreams that you had when you were a child, to those aspirations, the things that you've always wanted to do in your life. Now, maybe you're not on that path at this time, but when somebody comes along and they say to you, you know what, you've got this tremendous energy and you could write a book or you could go into theater or you could do whatever, and you've always known that you could, but somebody comes along and just kind of very nicely tells you that you have a tremendous amount of talent in that arena, it may just maybe push you in the direction of your destiny. And I've actually have clients, this one woman in particular had a tremendous amount of ability with acting. And she was an accountant, and I'm like, why are you an accountant? Because it's the family business. And she was doing, a lot of her challenges kind of put her in that box. And I told her, you have this tremendous artistic creativity. Why? I don't understand why you're doing what you're doing. She actually took a leap of faith, and she went and got a part at a local repertory theater. From that, she got noticed by an agent, and by the end of a year and a half, she was on Broadway. And that enough said. Enough said. You know, it's sometimes giving person the courage to embrace their energy, to love their energy, and to use their energy is what numerology really can be brilliant at.
Well, I can tell you that you are quite brilliant at it. It really is. And it's striking to me, too, where I seem to be going with my whole genealogy thing. Mm-hmm. Because I've harped on it from the spiritual side of it for 27 years, because that's what I felt inside of me. But, you know, the more and more I have ventured out, and especially with this radio show over the last, you know, 3-4 months now, maybe
sure.
longer, you know, and I start seeing how it meshes with everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can mesh, you know, genealogy, well, you mesh it with DNA, I mean, physical DNA. I mean, you know, we started doing that in genealogy 10, 12 years ago. And now you start meshing it with spiritual DNA, and you start meshing it with numerology, and you start meshing it with, I guess, astrology. I haven't gone that direction yet, but that's going to be an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
And you really, you know, I think that at the end of the day, that no matter where you are in this, you know, picture, is that where you come from, and you know, you mentioned John Holland and Colette Baron mm-hmm. Reed and all of these people. I mean, you open their books, and it says how important it is for you to know where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to
That's
even
true.
Begin your spiritual journey. So, I
guess
you
have to know your authentic self. You have to understand.
Yes.
Yes. In order to be enlightened. The first place you have to start with is with yourself and knowing yourself and where you came from. And so, yeah.
It's an amazing study, and I keep harping on that every week, that genealogy is really the study of self.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And then all these other things help you and guide you to really your soul purpose and to make you, you know, as a better person and to really focus your life on things that you're really here to accomplish. And, you know, so many of us live our lives in roles that we think we're supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
Because that's what we thought we were told.
Right.
And, you know, we're really supposed to be doing something totally different. And, you know, sometimes we have to allow ourselves to be guided there, and people like yourselves and numerology, you know, are here to help those of us who are looking for, you know, our next, sometimes we joke about it and say, what do we want to be when we grow up?
Yeah. Well, I always look at the charts, and there's infinite possibilities, but in order to accomplish anything, you have to believe in yourself. And you have to embrace who you are and make no apologies. And once you understand who you are, that's when you can start living a more purposeful life and even a happier life. And it all comes from self-knowledge. And you know, numerology, as I said, is one of the finest tools that I can think of that when it speaks to you, it speaks to your soul. You know that it's telling you the truth. You resonate to what you hear in a numerology chart. These are memories that you hold, things that you've thought, but maybe you just didn't have the confidence in yourself to believe it. But numerology comes along and smacks you up the side of the head and says, believe it, you know, and life is infinite possibilities. And, you know, that's my job, is to just try to show people just how wonderful they are. Because, you know, there's incredible, courageous people in this world based on what I've seen in numerology charts. There are people that are here to do some great things. And if I play a small role in reminding them, then so be it. You know, I'm happy to play that role.
Well, and you do such a fantastic job at it. Again, my reading that I had with her about a year and a half ago was absolutely an eye-opener for me. And I've listened to her many times. In fact, we're here on BBS Radio because of Allison. So thank you so much for being with us. It was really quite an enlightening show. I just love the tie-ins that we can make from everything to genealogy, but really to the soul and to the spirit and to, like you said, all the things that we really are and all the things that we can really be.
Well, thank you.
In any event, thanks again for being here. I'm Susan mm-hmm. King. This has been Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect. We will be back next week with Steve Luxenberg. He is the author of Annie's Ghost, A Journey into a Family Secret. And this is going to be an interesting story of his journey of finding out lies and omissions that he was told during his lifetime by his mother, and the secrets that he was able to uncover in this wonderful book. He's a Washington Post Associate Editor and a winner of several Pulitzer Prizes, so stay tuned for really a very interesting show next week. Again, you can reach me at www.susaneking.com. Again, Allison, thank you, and we'll see everybody next week.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.